So we are so excited to be talking to Kim and Mike from Blue Haven, who have been our besties here the last couple weeks in the Bahamas, along with Sarah and Ray, who we've also interviewed. And they're here with their Pekingese, Doug, who we're excited to, he won't be interviewed today, but he'll have the podcast. So let's welcome them and have a great conversation. Oh, yes. Hello, and a covert castaway. I'm Holly.
Je suis Stéphane.
Join us as we share what we learn and how we're making the transition to live aboard cruising. Cool. So we're excited to chat with you guys today. And maybe, Stéphane, you can start by just talking a little bit about what you see around us and what's going on.
Yeah, the sun has set, but we're in Georgetown, the Bahamas, near Exumas. And it was a beautiful day, a bit windy. But right now, I always love that moment because you see all these lights on top of the mast that meet up around us. So that's pretty cool.
And there's dinghies going by, so there might be some background noise. And then Doug's down below here, panting away and joining the conversation, which is super cute. He's a really cute dog, and he's kind of blind. So Kim and Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about where you guys are from?
Why don't you go ahead?
We're from Medford, Oregon. Basically lived there all our lives, and we were in law enforcement for about 30 years, and we just retired and cruised the country in the motorhome for about 9 months before we picked up our boat.
So you did the RV thing.
Yep.
Yeah, we've been doing the RV thing for like several years now, mainly on the weekends, and that's kind of what got us into this, is because the RV life is like, you know, kind of a big thing. And we're thinking when we retire coming up, we're just going to full-time RV. That's going to be our thing. And then we were following YouTube channels, and one of the YouTube channels switched to sailing life. And that kind of started that whole thought bubble in about 2016. And then we started researching that.
Yeah, the Winds. That was a cool channel because they had a lot of followers. Yeah. And then, they changed.
So. Yeah, they had a great motorhome channel. And I loved all the stuff they were doing. And they said they were buying a boat one day. I'm like, oh, man, that stinks, because I'm not interested in a boat. I just want an RV. And then we saw like, oh, well, maybe it's like a lot better than RVing. And so far, it has been.
Yeah. So neither of you had sailed before?
No.
Nope. We've been on a boat a lot.
We've had lots of water ski boats and, different kinds of boats just on the lake, but not a sailboat.
Yeah, no ocean stuff at all, but a lot of lake time on boats. We've been doing that like our whole, like, I mean, we were competitive water skiers for a long time too, so private lake. So we have a lot of time in boats, but definitely nothing on sailing.
So, like, what was the thought process like when we were like, okay, we're going to RV, and you had an RV, right?
We had an RV, so we're kind of used to, living in a smaller space and using the same type of propane and batteries and solar and all the systems, similar systems.
So you're down with the power management.
Yeah, and we dry camp, meaning that we don't have hookups. So we're kind of used to really watching our battery consumption, watching our water use, running the generator when needed, doing solar and stuff like that. So they kind of gave us a nice preparation for this lifestyle, especially because we were fixing a lot of stuff on our motorhome too, just like boat life. Like,
stuff breaks on RVs?
It does, because it's just like a boat where it's like it's moving around, going on the highway and bumping.
But now I feel better. I'll erase that as a backup plan.
Well, I do think that maybe there's more stuff to go wrong on a sailboat, but regardless,
So the thought process then, the decision was pretty natural, you feel like?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was more like, it was more of a dream. And then the more we kept thinking about it, the more we started doing more and more research on what it takes. And it was very much an unknown, like, how do you sail a vessel in the ocean, or how do you just navigate an ocean? So when Kim wasn't on board right away, she's just...
Oh, it took you some time to warm up to the idea. So were you like, you're just crazy, what do we do?
You wanted to go on a vacation and learn how to sail. And I was like, on vacation?
that's not her thought on vacation. But I thought it'd be good, let's go sailing for our vacation. But that's back when we worked and vacations were a big deal.
Like, yeah, we got time.
Yeah. So anyway, I eventually convinced her. I don't know. Finally, like at some point, I got the green light, and I'm like,
and then Kim is like, okay, those videos look pretty cool.
They look pretty cool.
It was a very slow process. You know, the budget obviously started like, you know, we could get into, for, you know, 250,000. Yeah. Yeah. Just to. Well, obviously that budget changed.
It's never like that. It's never the base boat.
Yeah. And we had just built our third home. It was our forever home in 2017. We're going to live here forever. Mm. We have the view, the thing.
No,
we sold it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're all in with the liveaboard.
All in.
We are all in. But there's more than that. Our house wasn't super, like, what do you do with the house in Medford, Oregon? That, and it's not the kind of house you'd want to Airbnb or rent for various reasons. It had a lot of kind of complicated issues, even though it was a new house. So Kim is the one that figured out, like, what should we do with the house? And she was on that to sign best case would be to sell it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hit a lot of analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all the spreadsheets, like, keep it, rent it, and you're doing all the models, and you're trying to calculate out, and it's like, you know what, it's just better to sell. There's a lot.
Get another house somewhere.
So you made the decision, and then you start looking at boats. So how did that process go?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did, as soon as we made the decision, at that point, I needed to figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. So I called up an instructor who was referred by a friend who also didn't have any experience, and they were doing it. And I'm like, how did you get started? He's like, well, call this guy. So I called him, and he said, well, first you should buy a sailboat and you should start taking our online classes and eventually our other classes.
It's like ASA or something?
It was RYA.
RYA. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And they have Yachtmaster Theory. Mm-hmm. So I did the Yachtmaster Theory. I bought a 10-foot sailboat.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, yeah. And I learned a lot of stuff on those sailboats.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I had some
accidental
jibes that really messed me up. And mm-hmm. so it's nice to do it on a small scale. But I did the RYA that really doesn't teach sailing. It just teaches navigation. Mm. And I think that really helped. And then I used that same instructor we took lessons from.
Yeah.
Practical lessons, and then he was ultimately our instructor that helped us deliver the boat on a 1,000-mile journey.
Good.
So that was kind of how we made that transition mm-hmm. into this crazy lifestyle. So, mm-hmm.
so it seems like you took the lead here. Mm-hmm. Like, did you? What? How did you approach this process?
I tried to go through some of the questions with him and like learn some of that with him, but like the whole process of like leaving the home and moving on to the boat, I think was pretty easy because of camping. Like our whole, I think 25 years that we've been together, we couldn't wait to go camping each weekend. So mm-hmm. this is sort of like camping, but mm-hmm. like glamorous.
It's like luxury camping.
Like luxury and yachting and you're in beautiful places. So that part wasn't hard. And we've worked in the same job for the last 30 years at the same department mm-hmm. with each other and done all the same. So we're kind of used to being in close places.
Close quarters, high stress situations. So we kind of thought like if we can't do it, nobody can.
I think it's a real asset. Like if you had, plus you met when you were like born, right?
We were teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've known each other for your whole lives basically.
Yeah.
And you work together.
Yeah.
Maybe in the same circles at least.
Very close.
Yeah. Really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Times.
Pretty darn close. If one's in a foot chase or a car chase, the other one's right behind.
Okay. So you really, and I think this is a huge asset because I think a lot of couples that get on boats, they may be in the same industry, like Stefan and I were in the same industry, but at different companies doing different things. Mm-hmm. And then you are working on a project together, on a boat together, and suddenly you're like, wait, so that's how you communicate. Oh, this is what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a big asset for you guys. That's really awesome.
Yeah, we got on our first knockdown drag out fight together.
First fight ever. Yep.
Well, we went together back then, actually.
No.
But she was backing me up on a call, and the situation deteriorated very quickly. Mm-hmm. We had our hands full, and it wasn't it was a long, long fight, but we...
So who saved the day? Kim saved the day or you saved the day?
Very much a group effort. It was a big guy with a lot of hair. I had a handcuff him and there was a lot of hair in the handcuffs.
Yeah, it took every ounce of strength of both of us. And
yeah.
Every picture in the whole house was off the wall.
Yeah, but we had many cuffs walking over out the door by the time we had six other cops.
We got him in handcuffs, just the two of us. So we're pretty happy.
All so right. That's a good we're in our early 20s.
And so think of it like a boat, kind of.
Yeah. Big windstorm. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We wrestled the... wrestle our boat into submission, too. Yeah.
Working as a team and trusting each other,
right.
Which is like essential. Yeah.
And, you know, I must say, like, we've had some stressful situations on the boat, which we can get into, but Kim is the calm, cool, and collected, where I thought I kind of was, and...
Mm.
I started, you know, getting a little bit too excited and upset, and she's the voice of reason. So it's which is awesome.
This, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's great when you have kind of a balancing energy. You know, even maybe sometimes your excitement will be important. You know, and calm's always important on a boat. I think so. Yeah. So you got your boat, and what has the first year been like then for you so far?
It's been amazing and super scary.
I would agree.
Because we've had some very fun times, but you got to understand, like, we're learning how to sail in an ocean, and we have a brand new boat, which you think would be problem-free because it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also completely new to us. The handover process of, like, the leopards is basically they show you the systems, they throw you the keys, it takes all of a couple hours.
Is that if he was?
That's it. And then, a lot of things went wrong, unfortunately, with that boat. Some of it was on Leopard, some of it was on the aftermarket stuff that we put in, and some of it was on self-inflicted us because we're doing it wrong and we're messing things up. So I would say it was much more stressful than I anticipated. Just figuring out the boat. Why are these alarms going off?
What alarm is it?
Right.
A different alarm. And fixing stuff. And why does the VHF not work? And why did the boat suddenly make a left turn when we're on autopilot going to this destination? I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that kind of freaks you out. And now we've been through a lot. And I think if it was to happen all again, we'd be much more relaxed. But it was stressful, and I think every day is getting better and better. And I'll tell you what, getting to the Bahamas is amazing. It's like, it's kind of like, okay, this is really awesome. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first
6 nights were overnighters, all of them, and we had never sailed overnight. We didn't know what that looked like, that it was pitch black outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a mast light, or they weren't on AIS.
Did you have anyone else on the boat, or just the two of you?
Well,
we had our captain.
We had a Dover captain, but then he was off the boat quickly. And just the way it worked out, we went all the way up the East Coast to run away from the hurricanes because we got our boat in July and tanned it over August. And that's in Fort Lauderdale. So we hightailed it north, not having any regard for the weather because we had hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And cooled off, chilled out for 2 months, got to know the boat in a marina. And now it's getting really cold. We gotta head south.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's scary and kind of a lot of work and a lot of unknown.
In the morning, like early morning, like 4 a.m., it's dark out, doesn't get light till late. And then it gets dark again at 4 because it was winter.
And we gotta make
a 12 hour day.
We gotta make this many miles to get to the next like place to stop because we're out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would and our boat doesn't sail exceptionally fast.
No.
So yeah, we it seemed like we were putting in a lot of work, but there are some super highs. Like St. Augustine was amazing.
Right, South Beach.
Oh, there's so many cool places on the East Coast that were just like, once you're there, it's like amazing.
Annapolis. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's Annapolis. Old. Yeah. There's places in the Chesapeake, like St. Michael's.
St. Michael's.
So we're really seeing the East Coast. You know, because we're West Coasters, we don't, and the destinations have been amazing outside of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. So do you feel like the low points and the high points have kind of balanced each other out?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Boy, those storms that come up though.
Out of nowhere.
A microburst, and we had one out of nowhere we weren't expecting.
The lightning storm over here.
And the lightning storm, Yeah. All of that. It's just, it's so close to your boat. It's so loud.
Yeah.
And your boat's affected by the wind and the current all the time. So that's very new. I mean, mm-hmm. still.
Mm-hmm. It's very new. It's like thunderstorms are scary in a house.
Yeah.
They're way more scarier when you're on a floating boat mm-hmm. In the ocean or in a bay or something yeah. like that. And you feel very vulnerable with the mast sticking up out of the...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the storms are scary. And that's probably... We're probably not going to get over that. But I will say, now that we've been through a couple pretty big ones, well, we think mm-hmm. it's big ones. Mm-hmm. I think each time it happens, we're less and less freaked out.
Mm-hmm. It's like desensitization.
Yeah.
A lot yeah. Or yeah. like knowing to have like your headsets ready and your life vest mm-hmm. and flashlights mm-hmm. ready. And
fenders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. fenders ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not outside where you can't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of confidence in our ground tackle too. Like mm-hmm. when that microburst hit and we saw 50 knots and we saw these monohulls, we're at an anchorage just laying over on their side.
Whoa.
And if you can't see 5 feet in front of you, like it and it just feels like this is insane, but we did not move an inch. Mm. And that's
a good test.
That's a great yeah. a great confidence builder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the things we try to do in our YouTube channel and that we did in Cover Castaway in our podcast was to set people. Have you ever heard of that podcast?
I have.
Yeah.
You were
have.
One of my research projects yep. as I was learning this whole thing.
Yep. These guys came over and said, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we try to do is temper people's expectations, because there's a lot of, you know, glamorization, I think, of the lifestyle.
There is.
And it's important to kind of know what you're going into. So,
and that's not really, I think, reflected in a lot of the YouTube channels. You know, we do see like all the great points and not a lot of low points.
Yeah.
So
I can see how people want to sell the dream, especially, you know, advertisers like that too, you
yeah,
know, so,
yeah.
But it's really, really important, especially if you make a big life choice, like you should know, we feel like you should kind of know not only the realities of storms and weather, but the realities of if you buy a new boat, it's still going to have problems.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then third, the realities of two people learning how to work together.
Yeah.
And
close quarters all the time.
Close quarters.
Really.
Yeah. And leaving friends and family behind.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a thing. Has that been a thing for you?
Yeah.
We miss our family.
It has. And we've had all our favorite friends out mm-hmm. to join us on the boat, and we've gone back to Oregon a couple times, and we're trying to check that box. But I will say that this lifestyle is very much social,
mm-hmm.
and I was really worried about that. I'm like, we're gonna get on a boat, it's gonna be you and I.
What are we gonna talk about?
What are we gonna do?
Yeah, we're around things to talk about, no place to go. But it's been so fun meeting amazing people, right and left.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Yeah, all the people are really awesome. So what advice would you give your younger self maybe a year or two ago? What would you say?
Oh, I would say don't freak out over the lows, because the lows at the time were very scary, losing sleep, thinking about it all the time, and you're freaking out.
That's stuff on too.
And then now when I hear an alarm, it's kind of like, oh, well, what is that alarm? I'll get to it in a minute.
Well,
before,
yeah.
I would literally lose my appetite, get dry mouth, just kind of freaking out.
Which is pretty amazing, because in law enforcement, like, aren't you stress tested?
Yeah.
And I thought I was. I thought it was like the cool cucumber, but...
Seemed like everything was breaking. Everything would break over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. How is this? Yeah.
Like,
but...
We need water.
But we got through it, and I think we had more problems than most. But we had a lot of aftermarket stuff. That, you know, it's even if we didn't have all the aftermarket stuff, there would be some bumps in the road. But we, it seems like things have been going pretty well for a while now.
And he's a big tinkerer, so he tinkers with a lot of things, and he watches the YouTube. It's like,
oh my gosh, it's Stefan's twin, I think.
And he'll find one video related to the thing you need, and that's all you needed was that video. But
yeah, YouTube, when something goes wrong, there is always, and that's what I tell myself too, my younger self, that like if something goes wrong, the solution is there, you just need to find it. And most likely it's the simplest thing that you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
What about you, Kim? What advice would you give
somebody? I would just say there's certain battles that you can fight, and don't make everything a battle. Like, you could make the littlest thing a battle and it's going to bug you to death, but maybe get over it and
don't sweat the bigger monsters, maybe. Yeah. Cool.
And that's just in like whatever your roles might be, whether you're always doing the sales or you're sailing or you're in the
anchoring or
anchoring. And if you're, I think one of the bigger things too is if you're afraid of doing something, make yourself do it. Like, I didn't want to do the anchoring. I only wanted to be at the helm because the anchor is big and it's a big chain and you can lose fingers and you hear these scary things. But if you do both things and keep switching roles, maybe you'll feel more comfortable if something happened and mm-hmm. you had to do kind of everything. Mm-hmm.
So what are your big plans like of this whole project? How many years are you thinking? Where are you thinking about going? I know you're buddy boating with Kismet, but what are your ultimately?
And that's been really nice to have just somebody else. It's, like a security blanket a little bit.
Yeah, a boat.
It's like, my boat's doing this. Is your boat
Can you put your engine in my boat?
Yeah. Does this alarm mean anything to you? So we're cutting our teeth by taking baby steps with the boat and staying close to the East Coast mm-hmm. and doing the Bahamas. We're going to go back to Florida. We're going to have some little things fixed on the boat. I don't think any more improvements, maybe like a bottom job and just maintenance stuff. And then get off the boat for a few months.
We'll go up to New York for one because I've never been there. So I really want to go up there and see mm-hmm. that coastline and go mm-hmm. to the Statue of Liberty and mm-hmm. bucket list kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking? Are you going to take a right or a left?
We are going to come down next season, back here to Georgetown, and we're going to continue on south mm-hmm. and start exploring the Caribbean chain.
Mm-hmm. I could see us going through Panama though, mm-hmm. first.
Before the Met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see flying over there or vacationing over there, but doing Panama and like Baja and then Fiji, Bora Bora, Australia. Yeah,
it's definitely looking like we're going to take a ride.
Yeah.
Go down the Caribbean, take a ride.
Yeah.
So, or go down to Grenada and fly back to the U.S. and just play around in the Caribbean. And, I don't know how long it takes to like really explore the Caribbean or if a season or two is enough.
Well, the great thing about boat plans is there are never plans unless you're actually there. Like, then it's a plan. Yeah. Because we started planning stuff and we're like, why are you making plans? They literally change every day with the wind or who you meet,
Right.
We had a buddy boat and we're like, okay, I guess we're doing this, And it was the best thing ever. So, you kind of let go of your expectations of certain places and are just kind of open to where the wind takes you a little bit.
Yeah. I would have to agree.
Yeah. And we seem to be more like, we really enjoy buddy boats, whether it's our friends at Kismet or like somebody else that wants to do the same thing. That really appeals to us. Where some people are like, nope, we want to be on our own. We don't want to have other boats around. Mm. We like the social thing and the more the merrier.
Yeah, we like buddy boating too a lot. Yeah, it's good. It's kind of sad when you have to part ways, which is what we're doing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I'm
kidding.
But we'll see you next season for sure.
Yeah, we might change our mind and come down.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you guys, and we'll see you in season.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.